Welcome everyone to our service. Welcome once again to Every Nation. My name is Dixon. I am leading the youth and the campus and the teens as well. So yeah, so without further ado, okay, we are in our first series of the year called Mission, The Mission. How many of you here have a mission in life? Yeah, how many of you here have a mission in life? Right, so you know, this series, the purpose of this series is to motivate us believers to participate in God's mission, you know, which is shown through the Father's love, the Son's sacrifice. And today is, we're going to talk a little bit on the Spirit's power, the empowerment. Okay, so turn to your neighbor left and right and say, you are empowered. Yeah. Right, if you guys, right, you know, are excited, how many of you are excited to go on mission this year? Yeah? Yeah, you want to go on mission this year? So, you know, this year our series started, we called The Mission, so meaning to say we want to help you guys to believe that we can do our own missions. We can also participate in missions. That missions are not just for missionaries. Or like you see the Matsale come and, you know. And no, we can be our own missionaries on our own accord for God. Okay? So, today is the mission is called The Spirit's Power. It's the third part of this series. Okay? Last week, Pastor talked about the church. How the church has a role in playing in the mission as well. So today we're going to talk about the Spirit's power. Okay, so okay, let's read the Bible. Let's read the word today. Okay, let's read it together. He says here, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Amen. Right, so let's pray before we begin. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time that we have gathered in this place, that we are listening to the word as well. Lord, we pray, Lord Father God, that mission will always be a part of our lives. That Lord, help us to understand that missions are not just for missionaries, but we are all missionaries in our own accord, in our own workplaces, in our schools, in our ministries, in our families, our communities as well. Lord, help us, God, to understand that, and help us, God, to empower us to rely on the Spirit to move for missions. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, when I say the word mission, right, everyone is like, oh, people will start to think, oh, which kampung do I go, which forest, you know, the orang asli, do I go and find orang asli, this and that. You know, mission, yes, that is where we want to also tell people, those that who have unheard, have never heard of Jesus Christ before, about who Jesus Christ is, who Jesus was. But at the same time, we also have our own role to play in our own fields, our own mission fields, in our workplaces, in our schools, our communities, okay? So, today, right, we're going to talk about a little bit, I'll start off with the challenge of mission, okay? The mission, as you know, it's not easy, you know? We are missionaries, literally, they live, they surrender their lives where they were comfortable, and they go out. You know, they go out, they go to places, sometimes long-term, years, for years, right? And they try to, in order to preach the gospel, in order to tell people about God. So, right, there's a challenge of mission. So, our founder himself, Steve Murrell, right, he was a campus student when he, from US, right, he went for a three-month mission in Philippines. That 3 months become 40 years. You know, that 3 months became 40 years. So, you know, today we're going to talk about the challenge of mission and why some people fail as well as they go on mission. Okay, why some people, they leave the mission field after some time. Okay, so if you see, right, wow, who wants to do mission in the Himalayas? Nice. Right, I don't know who you want to mission to preach the gospel to, but yes, you know. This is an analogy I want to show you guys that in when you go for a hike, right, or you go for a mountain expedition, you know, you are dressed for it, right? You have to dress, it's very cold. You have to bring enough water. You have to bring enough food, you have to bring all your gear, and then at the same time you have to train. You have to train, you know. Maybe you want to go up to Mount Everest, right? Maybe you have to hike Mount Kinabalu 10 times first. Oh, maybe, I don't know, you know. So you have to train for it. You have to be ready. You have to be equipped. What if someone suddenly say, okay, tomorrow I want to go up Everest, and I didn't buy anything, I just fly there and then I just go up. You know, if you go up Everest, I think possibly you might die up there if you don't have anything, you know, that you prepared you for it. Or even the least of it, right? You go halfway and say, okay, I'm done, I'm going back down. You know, there's one time in Penang Hill. I tried to climb Penang Hill one time. You know, through the road at Botanical Gardens, right? I climb halfway. I say, wow, so steep. Then after about half an hour, I say, okay, I'm going back down. So that was when I was in my teens, and we didn't plan anything. We just saw the road. Let's try going up the road to Penang Hill. No planning, no nothing done, and we literally went up. Halfway through, we got no water, no nothing. So, okay, I think that's all. Let's go back down. You know, so that's what happens. And at the same time, it's also what happens with missionaries as well. Okay, the Christian missionaries leaving the field because they were not equipped. Okay, 80% of missionaries quit within the first 5 years. 46% of mission leaders say that they have considered leaving the field. 70% or more experience depression or anxiety. So some of the common reasons is, you know, they have culture shock, conflict, no support, trying to re-entry, they cannot re-enter. And the impact is that we have less workers in the field. We have less workers in the mission, in the place where people need the gospel the most. Right, so, and then there are gaps as well. So there are estimated about 430,000 Christian missionaries serving on the mission field today. Every year, roughly 6.5% leave the mission field. So, and what's more, 70% of these missionaries leave for preventable missions. So, in times like that, right, it goes to show that, you know, sometimes if you rely on your own strength, this is what happens. You fail more often than not, you know. You fail more often than not. So, the purpose of this sermon today I'm going to share is to encourage some perseverance. If you're in God's mission, okay? You may not be in a mission field like, you know, a foreign mission field, but in your own mission, you have your families to reach out to. You have your workers, your co-workers to reach out to. You have your friends to reach out to. To persevere and to address some discouragement, burnout, and fear in ministry as well. And also to slightly change your mindset, reframe mission as participation in God's work, not just performance for God. So if you try to perform for God and you fail, and then you know, that's your expectation, you're trying to perform for God, but what if God has already performed? All we have to do is to do the work, you know. So, you know what? Before we continue, we're going to look at this scripture in John 20, verse 19. It says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. All right, so, you know, right, in this part portion of the scripture, right, this is talking about the disciples. Jesus has already been crucified. Been raised to life, but raised to life, but the thing is, the disciples were afraid. They were afraid because, oh, what if suddenly the authorities come and get us? What if suddenly the Roman soldiers come and arrest us, put us in jail, and do all that? They are scared for their lives, you know, which is normal for a human being. That is what, you know, when you lost your leader, your savior, and she's no longer there, as in physically present with them, so they'll be like, eh? Oh, I'm scared. They're scared, you know? But the thing is, what transforms these fearful disciples into faithful witnesses? Okay, something must have done it. Something must have transformed 12 scared disciples in the upper room. 12 scared disciples, and then we have more than 4 billion Christians in this world today. Or is it 3 point something billion? Something must have transformed the hell hole, that 12 people in there, and then the 12 became the apostles and planted churches and preached the gospel, and the message of Christ was told all over. All right? So something must have transformed. Okay? So, what transformed? In John 20, 21, 22 says, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, they received the Holy Spirit back then. They received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowered them, essentially, you know. So, before that, right, you know, to understand our mission, you know, we need to understand how Jesus himself was sent, okay? Right, so, the disciples, right, they did not change, right, because the circumstances were improved, you know. They changed because Jesus sent them the way he was sent by God the Father. Okay, so to understand our mission, we must understand how Jesus was sent first. Okay, so which is where it leads to, yeah. To understand our mission, we must first understand how Jesus was sent, how did the Father send the Son, and how does the Son send us. Okay, so let's go on to the next. The first point I would like to show you guys is that Jesus was sent with his pleasure. Okay, with his pleasure. Okay, so there's a difference, you know, when you talk about his pleasure and with his pleasure is different. Okay, let me just give you the example. Okay, so but we're gonna look at Luke 3 verse 21 verse 22. It says, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am pleased. Okay, so this was, you know, back then when Jesus was just being baptized and was praying, and he hasn't really started his ministry yet. But you know, there's a dove that came, okay? And the Holy Spirit descended on him at that time. And then there was this voice that says, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. It's like, you know, when we are in a workplace, how many of you are judged by your KPIs? Targets. Wow, to this year didn't reach target. How many of you reached your sales target in 2025? Praise the Lord, nobody did. So you know, KPI. You know, KPI, we all go by KPI. We all go by, in work, you know, we measure metrics, performance, evaluation in order to measure your success. And then you get promoted as you hit your KPI or whatever. Right, correct or not? So, and then same thing with sports as well. For you to be in the team, you need to perform a certain way. You need to be the best, you know, goalkeeper. You need to be the best winger, whatever. If you're playing football, you need to, even if you're playing tennis, you need to have the best strokes for you to be in the team or for you to be in the competition. Okay, so right, you think about all these, right? Performance reviews, selection trials in sports, approval, right? Only comes after the result, after you perform a certain way. Okay, you hit the target, you win the match, you meet the KPI, and then only, oh, okay, we pay you. Only you go up, okay? But Jesus, right, is different. Many Christians, right, we assume that God works the same way. It means we need to perform first. We need to be on stage and play first. We need to be ushers first. We need to be in the tech team, whatever, helping with others. Yes, we need all of you to serve. But the thing is, you know, the work does not come first before God. So, meaning to say, you know, many Christians assume God works the same way, that we need to perform a certain way before we are accepted as a Christian. Right. So, but Jesus heard the Father say, I am pleased with you. Before preaching any sermon, before healing the sick, before gathering any crowds, you know, Jesus was told, I am pleased with you. How many of you love it when someone say, I am pleased with you? Correct not? I love it. You know, my wife come up to me and say, thank you for washing the dishes. I am pleased with you. You know, that's the best feeling, you know. Say, yes, I wash the dishes, that's right, you know. You know. But of course, they want the work come first, ma. What if suddenly she come to you, wow, you didn't wash the dishes, but I'm still pleased with you. Wow, that would be more amazing. Right, so, right. Okay, so, performance comes first in the world. But in God, God came first. God says, I am pleased with you first. So God's pleasure is not a bonus, you know, for high performance. It's a starting point for His children. We don't serve to earn approval. We serve from approval. Right? So the key details here is that Jesus received the Father's affirmation before doing ministry. But God's pleasure preceded Jesus' performance. Identity came before activity. All right? So the question today is, do you serve from God's pleasure or for God's pleasure? Okay, if you still don't know the answer to this, then you go back home and record and watch the recording again for the first. Okay, all right, so, you know, ideally we want to serve from God's pleasure, not for God's pleasure. Yeah, from God's pleasure, okay? So, that's number one. Number two is with His purpose, okay? So Jesus was clear on His mission, okay? Proclaim the gospel, heal the broken, okay? So in Luke 4, verse 14, verse 15, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about Him went out through all the surrounding country, and He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all, okay? So, you know, okay, and then in verse 40, verse 44, again, it says this, now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Him, and He laid His hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out, many crying, you are the Son of God. But He rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that He was the Christ. And then, and when it was day, He departed and went into a desolate place, and the people sought Him and came to Him and would have kept Him from leaving them. But He said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And He was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. So, in a way, right, Jesus, right, he was, as a man who healed the sick, he cast out demons, right? He was the talk of the town. He was like the celebrity back then. You know, wow, everyone wants to go to Him to be healed and all that. You know, so as more people demanded for Him to stay, He said, no, I need to go. I have my purpose to talk to to go into the other towns as well. So Jesus was not distracted. Okay, so in a way, right, Jesus was clear on His mission. Proclaim the kingdom and heal the broken. He was clear in a way, nothing can distract me. He resisted distraction, popularity, and even expectations, you know. The Spirit empowered Jesus with clarity and focus. So He focused on the next. Then, okay, done, next, then done, then next, then done, then next, okay. So, nothing could sway Him in a way. Right, how many of you like to use Waze? My favorite app. In Penang. Right, so, you know, have you ever drove on Waze and using Waze and all that, right? And then suddenly you think, oh, this Waze is leading me to a jam. Right, then you'll be like, must be a better way. I want to trust my own. Then I go. Turn. You exit into a bigger jam. Gone. Right. I've experienced that before. You know, last week I was in KL. Last weekend I was in Selangor. And we were just driving. And suddenly we talk. My wife distracted me. No, I'm just kidding. You know, not my... Yeah, so we went and we just drive already. Then, oh, I made the wrong turning. You know, instead of following Waze, I did not see Waze properly. I was distracted and I went onto a flyover. And oh no. I think David and Evelyn, 1 hour on the flyovers, you know, last weekend. So, same, me. I experienced that as well. And then, that time we were so tired. It was after a wedding dinner, and it was almost 1 a.m., and we were driving, and then I just missed a turning. I was like, oh, good Lord, you know. So, we had to go back one big round, and took another 10, 15 minutes just to get back to our Airbnb. But, you know, that's just one wrong step, one wrong direction, and suddenly, take one wrong exit, and then the system will say, oh, recalculate. Then you have to come back, you have to waste 5. So if you are distracted, okay, at your own your first purpose, your first, you know, location, your first destination, your ultimate destination, then this is what happens. You detour, you go around. So if you suddenly say, okay, I want to go to this destination, I am following Waze, but I think I know my better way, you know. Then you go to the wrong way, you go to the other way, and then you took a lot more time than originally what Waze has planned out for you. Right? So that is life. Sometimes we are in life, right? In missions, right? Suddenly we are doing our mission for God. We have our purpose to preach here, to talk to people, to preach the gospel here and there. But suddenly, oh, I think I have my own idea. I go a different direction. Okay? So, in the same way, right, Jesus refused to live in that constant recalculating. He wasn't distracted. He went on that road. He wasn't saying, oh, I want to do it this way, I want to do it a different way, whatever. He adjusting his life around all the crowd and the demands. But he stayed locked on the destination that the Father has set for him. Okay? And the Spirit keeps us aligned so that we don't spend our lives spiritually recalculating. But that's why we need the Spirit, you know? Distraction often leads to discouragement. Just like how I was distracted and I went on a different separate route. Distracted. The Spirit provides both direction and power. So maybe your ways need to turn on louder, you know. The Spirit is speaking. Keep to the middle lane, keep to the right lane, keep to the left exit and all that. Right. So the truth today is to clarity of mission fuels endurance. So what is your mission at the beginning? Okay? If you already have that mission set in your mind, you go. That fuels it. You have the end point at your in your mind, in your idea already. You say, okay, I'm gonna go for that. So in that way, is there any distractions for you? Are there any distractions that are pulling you away from God's mission? Maybe God asks you to reach out to your friend, reach out to your colleague. Then you're distracted and say, oh no, cannot. Distracted by your own self-inadequacy and say, oh, I cannot preach. I don't know I don't know anything about the Bible and all that. But what you can do is you can invite them. Hey, come, life group, we learn together. Okay, come for service. Let's listen to the word, you know. And then number 3 is Jesus was sent with his people. At the same time, we must be sent with his people. All of us here. Okay? So in Luke 5, verse 1 to 11, it says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw 2 boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting in one of the boats, which was Simon, which is Peter, okay, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Wow. One of my favorite verses, because it talks about fishing. Jesus fished too, okay? For me, right, you know, I love fishing. You know, fishing is my hobby. You know, you come to my house, I have, you know, 15 to 20 rods in my house, you know. So, fishing rods. So, I love fishing. And at the same time, I also like to share my fishing hobby with others. You know, especially my youth, my campus students, my teens. And then, I take them fishing. You know, I take them fishing. And then, my fishing is not 2 hours, 3 hours, right? It's 12 hours, one. So when we go 12 hours, right, no choice, they are stuck with me for 12 hours. So my time to, you know, to goreng, you know, goreng, cha them, you know. So, right, you know, I love fishing, but, you know, before I continue on, I say, you know, Jesus intentionally chose disciples to share his mission, of course, in that fishing time. So mission was never meant to be done alone. The sending in John 20 is plural. A community is sent. Okay, but back to my fishing story. Okay, so I love fishing in a way. Then at the same time, you know, I as a Christian, God called me to fish for men as well, right? You know, as a disciple of Christ, we're also fishing for men. Just like how Simon Peter and all the other disciples were there, they fished. They say, from now on, you will fish for men. Jesus told them. So we are all fishing for men, and who wants to join me fishing also can, you know. So this is a story of me, Louis, and Jason. Okay, so Jason is, if you do not know, Louis is one of our teens coaches. He came to, he's the one in the middle. Okay, so Louis was in, he's in Form 6 now. So he was studying, and then he came to us, and then he grew with us and became a leader. And one day, out of a blue, right, suddenly a friend of Louis, which is Jason, his classmate or his schoolmate, Jason is sitting right there. Everyone say, hi to Jason. Give him a big hand for Jason, right? Jason is also our stage manager. He runs up, and I'm training him to sing as well for the youth and all that, right? So, you know, so Louis, right, Jason is a friend of Louis in his school, his schoolmate. And one day, Jason was he was curious with the faith in Christianity, in Christian faith. So he asked Louis, hey, can I follow you to church? And Louis said, okay, can. Then he brought him to church. And then that first day, he came to our youth service. We now went out for dinner and all that. And then he really enjoyed the time that we had with us. And we had a good fellowship, learning and everything. So, and then he stayed on for a bit. And then after that one day, I just said to Louis and Jason, hey, why not we go fishing? Then so let's go fishing. So they were on, you know, let's go, let's do fishing. So we went fishing. We went all over. We went out. So we went to a nearby town, just like Jesus did, nearby town, you know. So he went and we went to a nearby town to fish for 12 hours, you know. Then this was midnight already. And then as we fish, I started to have a conversation with him and talk about, you know, how his life, and having a discipleship moment to tell him about God and to tell him about who Jesus was, why is he important, and why we should believe in him in that way. And as we went along, we went back, we drove back on the way back, and then there was the final moment, almost reaching home already. I mustered up the courage and say, you know, Jason, do you think you're ready to accept Jesus in your life? This was after a few months of joining, right? This was in May last year. So he said, yeah, why not? And then Louis was asleep at the back. Then I wake, Louis, wake up, your friend is about to accept Jesus. Right, then he wake up, then you see his face still sleeping, you know. Right, so, and then I led him to Christ in the car on the way back. So, yeah, let's give God a big hand. You know, I led him to Christ, and there's no turning back. Ever since then, he was been serving with us, coming to service every Sunday, even in his exam period and all that, you know, coming to our campus life group, being a blessing to our group as well. So with this, right, you know, it's not me, but it was us. You know, he was Louis's friend. Louis brought him. And then what I did was, hey, let's go fishing. That's all I did. I brought him fishing, and we did, and then we had that moment, and then and he accepted Christ. So, meaning to say, we are not on this mission alone. We are not meant to do this alone. All of you should have a Louis with you to gather someone. Okay, if Louis wasn't ready to lead him to Christ, then someone else will. At your team will. We work as a team, correct or not? Right, we work as a team. So if you are someone that invites people and come, I can gather people. Gather them to your life groups. Gather them into your service. If you are someone who says, oh, I can deliver the message very well, I know the gospel very well, I can put the gospel in a way that people understands and can identify with, then you are the one to tell the new people. Say, hey, invite your friends, come over, then let's share. Right, so we work as a team, not alone. So God's mission, we are with his people, just like Jesus did. You know, God designed mission to be relational. Okay, everyone say, relationship is discipleship. Yeah, discipleship is relationship. The other way around also. Okay, so discipleship is relationship. Okay, so in this way, right, you know, the question that I want to ask you today is, who are you walking with in this mission? Are you walking with someone? Are you walking with a Louis? Are you walking with a Jason? If you are not, you know, let this message inspire you to say, I want to walk with someone moving forward. I want to journey with someone that, you know, does not know Christ. All right, so that way. Who are you walking with in this mission? Okay? And the last point, you know, we'll come to that. You know, it's with his presence. You know, Jesus is with his presence. Jesus sent us with his presence. Just like how God the Father sent Jesus with his presence, Jesus sent us with his presence as well. So, the Father never left the Son, and Jesus promise to continue his presence through the Spirit as well. But let's read on this verse, John 8, verse 28, verse 29 says, so Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. So the last part says, he has not left me alone. Okay? So this is what Jesus promised. Okay? That the Spirit remind us constantly of God's pleasure, purpose, and his people as well. And then Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. So, in a way, right, you know, so Jesus said, I am with you always to the end of age as well. You know, the Father never left the Son. Okay, the Father was always there for the Son. Okay, at the same time, Jesus promised his continual presence with us. through the Spirit means He's here. He says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the end of the age, you know? Throughout everything, He's there. The Spirit reminds us of God's pleasure, purpose, and people at the same time. So we are always in God's presence in that way. So, right, it's like how many of you have noise cancelling headphones? You like your noise cancelling headphones, right? Your noise cancelling, you're just in the zone, you know? You're just in your moment. If you do that and then you work and you do whatever, nobody can distract you and all that. So, in noise cancelling headphones, right, they don't remove the storm outside, correct or not? If you have noise cancelling earphones and you walk out and there's a big storm, wow, the wind is blowing, you hear nothing, you're just, you know? Right, but they let you hear what matters the most. You know, what matters, what you are listening to at that moment, it let you hear that. Okay, the Spirit does not remove every hardship of mission. Okay, when we go on mission, there's hardship for sure. He does not remove that, but He anchors us in God's presence. So even if we are in the storm, we are still listening to God's word. We are still listening to God. We are still in God's presence. Okay? So He anchors us in His presence so that the fear does not drown out the faith. Right? Fear does not drown out faith because we are in His presence. Okay? God's presence steadies us when circumstances are loud. Okay? So in that way. So with this, right, we also attempt great things not because we are strong, but because God is with us. Amen? Right. If we believe that, oh, we can only do things based on our own limitation, our own ability, right, then we will never get things done. Because how are we? We are so limited. We can only do a certain thing that a human being can. But the thing is, God is with us because we do great things because God is with us, not because we wait until we are strong or we need to study the whole entire Bible cover to cover, go through theology, go through study in Bible school. Only we can preach the gospel. That's not true. Right? That's not true. It does not let, you know, you do not need to know the whole entire Bible, or you do not need to, you know, go through Bible school for you to invite your friend to church, for you to invite your non-believing relative to church. You know, there's no need for all that. But the thing is, when you say, oh, I need to be ready first, I need to do that, all that first, then you will never be ready. If someone says to you, say, hey, I think you're ready to be a leader for a life group, to be a life group leader, then you say, no, cannot, I shy, blah, blah, blah. Then when you say, oh, give me some time, I want to work on my strength first, do all that first, and then that time will hardly come, you know? How many of you experienced that before, leading someone, and then suddenly, oh, but ended up they are afraid of the challenge, and they say, no. But God is with us. That's how we do great things. The right posture is that, oh, you want to make me a leader? I feel I'm not ready. But if you think I'm ready, and God says, you know, that He's going to be there, you're going to be there the whole entire way, I'll say yes. Let me say yes. Let me take up the challenge. I want to lead. I want to serve. I want to be on a mission. Right? So this year, when we call for mission, oh, we're going here, we're going there, we'll probably go to Medan again, Hat Yai again, and a few more places around us. So, say yes. Say, I want to go. Because God is with us, okay? Not go for the food only, So, right. So, the truth to embrace today is that where God sends you, God goes with you. Amen? Okay, as I close, you know, we are all sent the same way God sent Jesus. We are all sent the same way. Okay, so with that, right, I would like to just close with this last illustration. Relay race. How many of you have been on a relay race before? I tried. I fumbled the thing. I fumbled the baton. Jatuh, no? Then, you know, in a relay race, right? Runners, right? When you are passing the relay, passing the baton, right? The runners don't start from a standstill, one, right? They're like that. Hey, give me, then only you run. No, right? Pass. He's running already. And then someone has to pass to him. Someone has to make sure his hand is there. You know, because he's looking forward. He's running forward, but his hand is at the back. So the guy behind has to put the baton first onto his hand. He has to, cannot miss the hand. So they are running already as they receive the baton, already moving. So right, in a way, right, you know, the goal isn't to impress the crowd, okay, to carry what's been entrusted to them and pass it on faithfully. So in a way, if you drop the baton or you stop in your tracks, right, it affects the whole team. So everyone has to play their role. Okay? Jesus, right, did not ask his disciples to start the mission from scratch. Jesus didn't suddenly come and say, okay, like, you go heal the sick, you go and cast demon, I sit down here, relax. Jesus did the first leg. He was the first runner. Run. And then when he handed the baton of God's mission to them, it says, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. So the second runner is the disciples grabbing it and running. Alright? So the same love, power and presence that carried Jesus now carries us. So we are all in that race. At the back of us, Jesus gave to us the baton. So at the same time, we also can run with the baton. So in a way, right, when we remember that we are sent the same way as Him, with His pleasure, we serve with joy, not anxiety. You know, with His purpose, we stay focused, not distracted. And with His people, we endure together, not alone. And with His presence, we attempt great things, not because we are great, but because God is with us. Amen. You know, so with this truth today, right, as we go on and you're encouraged to go on a mission, either, you know, a real life mission trip, or you want to start a new mission for God to reach the lost, or you want to start a new mission for God to serve in any ministry, to serve in your life group, to say, you can start with that step first, but you have to remember that throughout all, it's with His pleasure, with His purpose, with His people, and with His presence. Amen. And finally, we end with the last verse. It says Matthew 28. You know, they go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything, just as I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the end of the age. Right? So, as we end, you know, so let's go. Let's go together. Let's go on a mission together. As a church, as a family, as a community. You know, so serve. Serve with a willing heart. Serve with, go on a mission with a joyful heart. Focus. Enduring together. And with God's presence. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time that we have gathered, even to worship you and to listen to your word. Lord, truly God, let this message come into our hearts. Let this message come into us as we heed this call to be a mission, to be on mission, to be empowered by the Spirit. Just like how Jesus was empowered, we want to be empowered the same way. We want to live out the way that Jesus decided for us to live, and that we want to make disciples. We want to go on a mission to make disciples. Lord, bless all of us here today in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone say, Amen.